Old Testament reading for the Epiphany of our Lord is from Isaiah chapter 60. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. And nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see, they all gather together, they come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be carried on the hip. Then you shall see and be radiant, your heart shall thrill and exult, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you, and the wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall bring good news, the praises of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Ephesians chapter 3. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God, who created all things, so that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the second chapter. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. When he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. Going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. This is the gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning we celebrate the Epiphany of our Lord. It is the celebration of Epiphany because the official date is the 6th of January, which is tomorrow. We're going to celebrate it here this morning. Now, the word epiphany comes from the Greek, of course, epiphaino, that word, Phino meaning to shine. Epi means upon. So quite literally, epiphany means to shine upon. Of course, we're reminded immediately of the shining star that pointed to Christ, the Christ child, right? Not technically the nativity scene, it was a few years after probably, but the light that is shining from that star, but pointing to the light, Christ himself. So the light is shining into the world, drawing all people unto himself. So an epiphany, the word in general now has come to mean appearance or revelation, right? Kind of like a eureka moment. So during the Epiphany season, we will be covering a lot of stories in the Bible about where Jesus' glory shines forth for all to see, his divinity revealed to mere mortals, his glory being manifest and recognized by certain people in the Gospels, the glory, though, of the only begotten Son of God in human flesh who came for your sake and for the sake of the whole world. Okay, so by now, you've probably heard enough of my sermons to know that I like to deal in certainty. I like certainty because God likes certainty, because he knows we sinners doubt. And so he wants to fill us with certainty and truth. But this gospel reading this morning, Matthew 2, their appointed text for Epiphany, there's a lot that we don't know. There's a lot that we are not certain about in this gospel reading. Sure, there's a lot we can infer from the text, and there are some things that we could try to figure out through historical context, things like that, sources, extra-biblical sources, and the like. But still, there, this side of heaven, I don't know that we will ever know for certain some of the things that happened in this gospel reading. However, we do know some of the things. And there are other things about which we can be absolutely certain of. And it's those things that we can be certain of, it is those things that graciously show us God's heart in the face of Christ. God's grace, his mercy, his forgiveness, his love and compassion that he has for us through his Son, Jesus. And what we do know for certain, is more than sufficient to fill us with comfort and hope and certainty. All right, so we don't know much about the Magi, or wise men, as the ESV has translated it. We don't know much about these men who came to visit the Christ child. Matthew uses the word magoi, which is where magi is the transliteration there. It's where we get the word magic today. Same word. So the wise men were probably some sort of ancient magicians in the ancient world. Certainly that would have included things like sorcery, astrology, things actually forbidden by God. Interesting. It's also interesting that in the Bible, the only other time that this word is used is in the book of Daniel. Daniel would have been considered a magi in Babylon. But Daniel was different than the other magi. Right? He doesn't practice sorcery he's not into astrology. Daniel was different. He wasn't relying on any other power, any other source other than the one true God. Nothing else. But yet he was considered a magi. But Daniel was a faithful servant of the one true God, a very unique Babylonian magi. So as much as we don't like to admit it, the magi who come to worship Jesus were astrologers. They looked up into the skies, they looked into the stars for signs, signs that would give them wisdom and knowledge. And then they would use this wisdom and knowledge gathered from the stars to counsel people, to counsel even kings. They themselves were not kings. We three kings of Orient are. They weren't kings, but they counseled kings. That leads us to something that we do know. Somehow, in one way or another, God used a star to announce the birth of a mighty king to the Magi. How did he do that? I don't know. You don't know either. But he did. He did it. He arranged it in such a way that it announced the birth of the Christ child to these Magi. And how exactly did the Magi know to expect the birth of such a king? I don't know. You don't either. Some like to think that God spoke to them directly, okay? That he announced to them directly. And as much as we Lutherans don't like that, we don't like God coming and speaking to us directly, we would prefer that we get God's truth from the Word of God. However, much like he did later in our gospel reading, the Lord appeared to the Magi in a dream and warned them not to go back to Herod. So the precedent is there. It is possible that the Lord spoke to them directly. But I also think it's relatively safe to assume that these Magi probably had the Word of God. They had some ancient scripture, at least some of the books of the Old Testament. Either that, or the godly, faithful man, the Magi, Daniel, passed down throughout the generations the truth. Because somehow or another, they knew what God had said to his people through the prophet Balaam in Numbers 24, verse 17. I see him, Christ, the child, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob, and a scepter, right, there's the king, a king shall arise out of Israel. But they seem to be missing the book of Micah, which, of course, we heard read for the Christmas, not only the Christmas program, but the Christmas Eve service. The famous verse from chapter 5, verse 2, but you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you will arise a ruler, a king of Israel, whose coming forth is from old, from ancient days. So they must not have that prophecy, because when they arrive in Judea, they don't go to Bethlehem, they go to Jerusalem. And they go straight to King Herod and ask him where the king is to be born. Unsurprisingly, Herod doesn't know. So he calls together, he doesn't know these ancient prophecies of the Bible. He calls together the scribes and the chief priests, and he asks them, where is the Christ to be born? They know. They know the prophecy. The scribes know that the promised king, the Messiah, will be born in Bethlehem. Now, we do know that Herod the Great was an evil man. We know this from Scripture, but also from history and extra-biblical sources. Herod was wicked. So Herod will have none of this new king stuff. Rather than falling down and worshiping the newborn king, he knows that this is the Christ because he asked the scribes, where is the Christ, the Messiah, to be born? He knows that this is the long-awaited Messiah, but rather than worshiping, he wants to kill him. So I kind of like how the ESV actually translates magoi as wise men. Even though in the original Greek it's magoi, and New King James, they translate it as magi, which is the magi are wise because they wisely followed the star. They wisely followed God's call, his sign to them. And they wisely fall down upon their knees and worship the newborn king. On the flip side of that, Herod and the scribes are foolish. They too should have gone to Bethlehem. They too should have gone out to worship the true king, but they didn't. They should have humbly kneeled before the King of Kings, the Christ child, but they didn't. In fact, very few did. Another thing that we don't know much about is the star that appeared. Some folks think that this is a natural phenomenon in the sky, like planets aligning in just the right way at just the right time, announcing some message, or perhaps a new star in one section of the sky. I'll tell you what, there are a lot of theories out there, and you could get stuck for hours on all of the theories. Just start Googling them, They're pretty neat, pretty interesting. Others, however, and I'll put myself in this camp, believe that the star wasn't so much a natural phenomenon at all, but a supernatural. After all, the star does lead the Magi. And so we have kind of this image of being led out of Exodus, right, into the promised land. They're being led out to Christ. So he's leading, the star is leading. And we also see the star standing in place, pointing to the very house, the place where the Christ child is. And so I'm not sure that natural events in the sky quite fit the bill. And this supernatural rendering, by the way, has led some to conclude that the star was actually an angel leading the way. Interesting. So which is it? I don't know. You don't either. It's fun to debate such things. It's not that they're unimportant, right? It's fun to talk about these things and speculate about these things, but ultimately, we can't know all of these things. Like I said, there's a lot that we don't know about this gospel reading this morning. But here's what we do know, and here's what you can be absolutely certain of. It is appropriate for us to call the Epiphany text in Matthew chapter 2 a second Christmas. It is a second Christmas. This is what Paul describes in our epistle reading. This is the mystery of Christ being revealed to the nations, being revealed to the Gentiles. The light has come into the world, and it is drawing all men unto himself. This is Simeon, we heard last week. This is Simeon's call, that the light to lighten the Gentiles has now come. And so the light now is shining upon the Gentiles. So you could call this Christmas for Gentiles. Second Christmas, Christmas for Gentiles. Because, of course, this didn't take place on that first Christmas morn. It took place sometime after, perhaps up to 2 years later, because when Herod says he's going to kill all the baby boys in Bethlehem and the surrounding area, he says those 2 years and younger, because that's the time that he gets from the Magi. We can call the Epiphany text, we can call the Epiphany day, Christmas for the Gentiles, because in this text, our Matthew 2 text, our New Testament text, this is the fulfillment of our Old Testament reading from Isaiah chapter 60. I'm going to read verses 1 through 3 of our Old Testament. Arise, shine, for the light has come. And the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the people. But the Lord will arise upon you, and the glory will be seen upon you. Verse 3. And nations shall come to your light, kings to the brightness of your rising. So the light shines forth into the world, and that light draws all men unto himself. And we know this. The Magi, or the wise men, they are essentially a stand-in for those nations. Okay? In other words, this baby boy, the king born of the Jews, is not just for the Jews, but for all. All men. He is the savior of all mankind. He is the fulfillment of all of Scripture. He is the light shining into the darkness. Remember, we too were born into the darkness, but he has shined his light upon us. His light breaks the darkness. It breaks even the darkness of ancient demon-summering sorcerers who fall down upon their knees and worship the King of Kings, the one true Lord. What we do know, what we can be certain is true, fills us with abundant comfort and hope and the truth. The Son of God came into this world. He became your brother in the flesh to stand in your place to save you. The heavenly King has shined his light upon the earth, upon all men, to give you his kingdom, to bring you into the light. Epiphany shows us that the babe born in Bethlehem draws all people, all nations, unto himself. And that is good news. That is good news for you. That is good news for all men. This is the second Christmas, Christmas for the Gentiles. And this is good news of great joy for all men, second Christmas. This is good news for all, from the smallest of tribes to the biggest, most glorious empires the world has ever seen. Christ is for them. It's good news for all those who are far off, every ethnicity, every skin color, every person in the world, no matter where you live on this earth, from kings to shepherds, Christ is for you. It's good news for all, even those closer to home, including your neighbors, who probably don't know Jesus and live as if there's no God. Christ is for them too. And this is good news for all, those even closer to home. It is for you, it is for your children, for your grandchildren, for all your loved ones, even if they may not have been to church in quite some time. Christ is for them. The church, where St. Paul says the wisdom of God is made known, the light shines forth in the church. It's good news for all, even those who right now might be blinded by darkness as we once were. For this Christ child has destroyed darkness. He has destroyed sin. He has destroyed death by his death and resurrection. The light has gone out. And the Christ light shines into the darkness, and the darkness shall not, will not, and never will, ever extinguish. It will never be overcome. So Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas to all, Jew, Gentile, all people. Merry Christmas. Today we celebrate our second Christmas, the Epiphany of our Lord. Arise, shine, for the light has shone, and it has shone upon you. The King has come. The Messiah has come for you and for all people. Christ is born to save all. And Christ, you now are heirs of his kingdom. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.